There's a saying that we have, you've got to be in it to win it. Have you heard that? I don't know whether it was kind of part of joining in the lottery, but you can't expect to win something if you're not in it. And it's very similar to our faith. You know, as we talk, as we share our of God's heart towards us, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be in it. You've got to be connected to God to receive all that he has. Otherwise, it's just hearsay. You've got no personal experience of what God is trying to do in your life. So are you in it this morning? Why do I keep doing that? Don't know. Just pause me a second. Being part of the kingdom of God, being part of Christianity, opens up a doorway into all that God has got for us. And I want to talk this morning about life, really, about how life impacts us. But when we have the reality of God living in us, it transforms our outlook and the result, things that happen to us. I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to talk about disappointment. I want to tell you this morning that when God looks at you, he's not disappointed. Very often we can be disappointed in ourselves, but as we sit here listening to the word and worshiping and engaging with who, he is not disappointed with you. And you might find that an amazing thing, because someone recognized that out. I'm going to swap. Our view, our understanding of ourselves, we can be very disappointed in who we are. But God isn't. And God wants to break into our disappointment and transform our lives. So I want to talk about facing disappointment and living in disappointment, because very often it can be a place that we live. We can be disappointed with life and everything it brings to us, and we live in this place of ultra disappointment, and our expectations we expect disappointment. Have you ever had disappointment? Yeah. Oh, you have, yeah, good. I have. And I suppose sometimes we can have that on a daily basis. But I can remember being a young boy, living as you do, wanting everything that life has got to offer, particularly a bike. And I wanted a bike so badly, and I didn't get one. Back in the 60s, the roads were too busy for me to have a bike, can you believe? That's what my dad said. The roads are too busy, it's too dangerous. You can't have one. You're too young. You'll get killed. We'll never see you again. All that kind of stuff that we say to our children, don't we, when we want to help them understand disappointment. But I can remember feeling disappointed. And many of us in life want things and expect things, and we don't get them, and we become disappointment. And I'm sure you can think of times in your life where similar things have happened. You've wanted something, you've expected something, not got it, and we are disappointed. So we can be disappointed with ourselves. It's probably most of our disappointment comes from who we are, our own reactions, the way we see things, the way we live. We can be so disappointed in ourselves. Even as believers, we can recognize that at times when we let God down, we don't do what God wants us to do. We can be disobedient or just get it wrong, and we feel disappointment inside. We can be disappointed with ourselves. Often we are disappointed with those around us, our friends and our family, those that we're living with. They don't do what we expect, or they do something out of the ordinary, or they just simply let us down. And we can be disappointed in our friends and our family, our employer. Often we can be disappointed with them. Not paying me enough. I'm doing all this work and getting no recognition. I'm not getting promotion. We can become disappointed. We can be disappointed with our government, and that's quite an easy one, isn't it? Because we're living in times that are really difficult, and we're looking for a way out all the time, and we can put our trust in our government, but they can let us down. And probably one of the biggest ones that we have to face is that we can be disappointed in God. Because when I read this book, just pass it to me, Andy. When I read this book, it's full of life and promises, and I'm not getting it. I'm not receiving all this stuff that's in this word, and I can be disappointed in God because he's not doing what he says he's doing. He's not honouring his word. Well, he does, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. But we can be disappointed in God. Our expectations and desires aren't met, and we have this emotional reaction of disappointment. And a lot of events that happen are just life. They'll always be part of life. But as believers, God gives us something that helps us in our disappointment. We are not to live in that place. And disappointment leads on to other emotions and feelings. It can lead to dissatisfaction. We can become isolated from people because we're disappointed with them, or from God. We can isolate ourselves from God. I've done that. Not happy with you, God. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm disappointed. We can live in isolation. We can move to anger or depression. All those things can happen. The starting point can be disappointment. But part of our growing up to be mature people is learning how to handle disappointment. Just in ordinary life, handling disappointment. And you'll know if you've got young children or grandchildren, as they grow up, they get to an age where they throw tantrums because they can't get what they want. They're disappointed. Or you say, we're going to do this, and you don't, and they're disappointed, and we get a reaction. And as we mature into adults, we learn how to handle disappointment. But disappointment is always going to be part of life. Those things we want or expect are not happening for us, and we can become disappointed. And this is the opposite of what God planned for us. He doesn't want us to live in disappointment. He wants us to live in a different place. But you've got to be in it to win it. If you're not connected to God, you can't receive all that he's got for you. And that's why it's really important that we understand our relationship with God and what our faith means to those that are in the kingdom. How we deal with disappointment is important to how we live. Are we adding faith to these events and allowing the Holy Spirit to impart something of God into our hearts? So disappointment will always be happening, but are we allowing God to be part of that process where the Holy Spirit reveals truth and faith into our heart so that we handle it in a different way? I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5 in two different versions. And I love this. I love this. It's one of my favourite readings. And let's go through this. So this is the NIV. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Do we? Because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation, which is the next one. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserving privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And so we have two words there. We have shame in the NIV. It says, hope doesn't put us to shame. In other words, we won't be shamed when we put our trust and our faith in God. There is no disappointment in God when we trust him absolutely, because we know that God loves us dearly. The Holy Spirit pours his love into our hearts. We experience that when we first come to God, when we first ask him into our hearts. Often we are overwhelmed with this love that the Holy Spirit pours into our heart. But sometimes we can let that all dribble away. But the great thing about God is he is continually wants us to fill us with his love, to have that experience and that knowledge in us that God loves us absolutely. He's not disappointed in you, no matter what you've done. And the hope that we have in him doesn't put us to shame, and it doesn't lead to disappointment. And we illustrate this as we go through the Bible from beginning to end. As this story, the stories of the Bible have people, have characters who are facing disappointment, but God brings something different to it. I just want to look at one or two of them just to give you the scope of God's hope in all of the Bible. I want to look at Noah, who was building an ark. It took him 120 years. That would have been a bit disappointing, wouldn't it? We all want stuff ready by tomorrow now. And he was preaching for 120 years, and nobody listened to him for 120 years. Wow, that could be quite disappointing, couldn't it? I've only been doing it for 16 years or 17 years or something like that, and I'm hoping that people are listening to me. But Noah went through this 120 years, and he was preaching to the people, telling them what was going to happen, asking them to put their faith in God, and nobody responded. I don't know whether he was disappointed in himself or disappointed in God, but what a place to be. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. And we know how that feels. It's massively disappointing. It can really blight somebody's life. And Abraham and Sarah just couldn't have children. Disappointed maybe in themselves or maybe in God. What's going on here? You know, you promised me so much, God, and we can't have children. What's going on? Moses was leading the children of Israel out of captivity into the promised land. What a joyous event that would have been. And then they come to the Red Sea. That must have been a bit disappointing, with the armies of the Egyptians closing in on you, and there's this Red Sea in front of you, and you're going, God, what are you doing here? We're all going to get killed. We're all going to get recaptured. Disappointment. David, the great king, the lover of God, committed adultery and murder. How would he have felt? He would have been disappointed. Got the disciples, who almost, when we read through them, they go from disappointment to joy, don't they? They have this relationship with Jesus where they're trying to understand what he's doing. And there was one event, wasn't there, when they'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. And that's disappointing, I know that. When I go fishing, if I don't catch any fish, I'm a bit disappointed. And the disciples were fishing. Didn't catch anything. Difficult circumstances. He faced disappointment. And Peter denied Christ. He was warming himself by the fire. And the girl there said to him, you're one of them, aren't you? You're a follower of Christ. You go around with him. I can tell by your accent that you're not from around here. You're from somewhere else. And I'm sure I've seen you with Jesus. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He denied Christ, and the feeling of self-disappointment in that moment must have been huge. But in all of these circumstances, faith must have an answer. There's got to be something that God puts into each circumstance that brings a different result. Romans 5 looks at the process of developing hope in God. If we face difficult circumstances, and difficult people, there's got to be a catalyst that produces hope in our hearts that God can do something. That in this situation, God can make a difference. If our reaction leads us to live in disappointment of the moment, then we become discouraged in faith life and in life itself. But the opposite of disappointment is joy. When I did get my bike, eventually, it was a joyous experience. It was wonderful. I was free. I could cycle for miles, and it was awesome. That feeling, that experience of disappointment, had been superseded by the joy of receiving something that was promised. And so as we look at situations, sometimes there's nothing we can do to change, but the pressure of the moment, the trigger for disappointment and our reaction gives way to our heart feelings. Situations don't change. There will always be situations that we are not in control of. The only thing that we can change in a situation is us. At that moment, the Holy Spirit breaks into our lives and we trust God, and he promises that we will not be disappointed. God isn't a God who wants to bring disappointment and failure, but through hard circumstances teaches us how to fully receive all that he has for us. The joy of knowing him is everything in every situation. We've always got to go back to him, for him to give us that hope, for him to bring that hope alive in our hearts, for that joy to overcome circumstances. And if we look back at the characters, as we saw before, Noah preached for 120 years. Nobody listened. But Noah was saved, wasn't he? He was set free. God kept his promise that if you build a boat, if you build the ark, you'll be saved, and he was. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children, but they did because they put their faith in God. God promised them a child, and they had one, Isaac. Even though they were old in age, and it was miraculous, God dealt with their disappointment, and joy came to that household. Moses, leading the children of Israel into the Red Sea, saw a miraculous event. When the Red Sea was parted and the children of Israel escaped, they got through and walked onto the promised land. David was forgiven for his acts of adultery and murder. He came to peace with God. The disciples who were fishing all night, Jesus said, just put your net on the other side, which they did, and they caught a huge amount of fish. Disappointment turns into joy when we put Christ into it. Peter denied Christ, but Christ never denied Peter. On the morning of his resurrection, he said, go and tell Peter. Tell him. Include him in what's happening. And Jesus asked Peter, didn't he, to feed my sheep. Go and feed my lambs. You're the one. You're the one who is going to continue this work. He put his trust in Peter. And so as we go through situations where we feel disappointment, we've got to remember that Christ will never lead us to that point of shame or disappointment. He wants us to love God and allow God to pour his love into our hearts. He says we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials because they develop our maturity and our trust in God, and we will never be disappointed in God. And all his promises because we develop a relationship with God where the Holy Spirit causes his love to be constantly poured into our heart. That's the evidence of who God is. It's the Holy Spirit pouring his love into our heart so that we are never disappointed. Romans 10 says this. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. will never be disappointed. Isaiah 45:17. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to learn through circumstances to put God into it. Because when we do that, we're not disappointed. We're not disappointed. Circumstances will always come. Disappointments will always try and break into our lives. But when we trust God absolutely, we will never be disappointed with anything that comes our way. Faith in God never disappoints. It never shames us because we're trusting in Him. And He's not disappointed in you. And that's really important to remember, that He's working in us constantly. He says that He started a work in you and He's going to finish it. That's His heart towards each of us. That He will always forgive if we ask for forgiveness. That He loves us unconditionally. That His grace is poured into our lives. So this morning, I don't know where you are on your faith journey. Whether you're disappointed in somebody, you're disappointed in God, but don't be disappointed, because God wants us to live in a place of joy and of hope. And if we put our trust in Him, we won't ever be disappointed again. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank You that You just want us to live in this place where we trust You absolutely, and that we'll never be disappointed in You. We might be disappointed in circumstances and people, but when we put You into it, we're never disappointed in all Your promises, in all Your intention towards us. And we thank You this morning that You love us unconditionally. Thank You that You have given us this hope in our heart that You will never disappoint us. Anybody here this morning who's disappointed, Lord, pour Your love into their hearts. Just begin to work in their spirit, I pray. Amen.